Where are you going? There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We are going to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
It's time to drain the swamp of corruption.
Drain the swamp. Look at that sign. Drain the swamp. We're going to drain the swamp of Washington. We're going to have fun doing it. We're all doing it together.
Many times I said we would drain the swamp, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. We're draining the swamp.
Next, we're going to hear the investigation, A Search for Truth in 10 Acts. Highlights of the Mueller report, the investigation into Russian interference into the 2016 election.
Of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian efforts to interfere in the 2016 United States presidential election. Allegations of conspiracy or coordination between Donald Trump's presidential campaign and Russia, and allegations of obstruction of justice. The report was publicly released on April 18, 2019. It is divided into two volumes. Volume 1 focused on Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election and concludes it occurred in sweeping and systematic fashion and violated U.S. criminal law.
Robert Mueller, there were multiple systematic efforts to interfere in our election. That allegation deserves the attention of every American.
Volume 2 focuses on obstruction of justice.
Obstruction of justice is the crime of willfully interfering with the process of justice and law, especially by influencing, threatening, harming, or impeding a witness, potential witness, legal officer, or by furnishing false information or otherwise impeding an investigation or legal process.
Robert Mueller's investigation found 10 possible acts of obstruction of justice. Let us examine what Mueller discovered in his own words as laid down by the report. Act 1. President Trump asked the FBI director to shut down the investigation into National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
On January 12, 2017, a Washington Post columnist reported that Michael Flynn and Sergei Kislyak, a senior Russian diplomat, communicated on the day the administration of Obama announced the Russia sanctions. President-elect Trump called Priebus after the story was published and expressed anger about it.
What the hell is this all about?
Rex Priebus, White House Chief of Staff, called Flynn and told him that the president was angry about the reporting on Flynn's conversations with Kislyak.
Michael Flynn. Flynn recalled that he had felt a lot of pressure because Priebus had spoken to the boss and said Flynn needed to
kill the story.
January 27, the president called FBI Director James Comey and invited him to dinner that evening.
Priebus recalled that before the dinner, he told the president something like, don't talk about Russia, whatever you do.
And the president promised he would not talk about Russia at the dinner.
Don McGahn, White House counsel, had previously advised the president that he should not communicate directly with the Department of Justice to avoid the perception or reality of political interference in law enforcement.
When Steve Bannon, White House chief strategist, learned about the president's planned dinner with Comey, he suggested that he or Priebus also attend.
But the president stated that he wanted to dine with Comey alone.
According to Comey's account, at one point during the dinner, the president stated,
I need loyalty. I expect loyalty.
Comey did not respond, and the conversation moved on to other topics.
But the president returned to the subject of Comey's job at the end of the dinner and repeated, I need loyalty.
You will always get honesty from me.
That's what I want, honest loyalty.
You will get that from me.
February 13, 2017, Priebus told Flynn he had to resign.
Flynn said he wanted to say goodbye to the president, so Priebus brought him to the Oval Office.
Priebus recalled that the president hugged Flynn, shook his hand, and said,
we'll give you a good recommendation. You're a good guy. We'll take care of you.
February 14, 2017, the day after Flynn's resignation, the president had lunch at the White House with New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Now that we fired Flynn, the Russia thing is over.
No way. This Russia thing is far from over. We'll be here on Valentine's Day 2018 talking about this.
What do you mean? Flynn met with the Russians? That was the problem. I fired Flynn. It's over.
Christie also told the president that he would never be able to get rid of Flynn like gum on the bottom of your shoe.
Towards the end of the lunch, the president brought up Comey and asked if Christie was still friendly with him.
Christie said he was.
Tell him that the president really likes him. Tell him he's part of the team. At the end of the lunch, the president repeated his request that Christie reach out to Comey.
Christie had no intention of complying with the president's request that he contact Comey. He thought the president's request was nonsensical, and Christie did not want to put Comey in the position of having to receive such a phone call. Christie thought it would have been uncomfortable to pass on that message.
The president met with Comey, Sessions, and other officials for a Homeland Security briefing. At the end of the briefing,
the president dismissed the other attendees and stated that he wanted to speak to Comey alone. Once they were alone, the president began the conversation by saying, I want to talk about Mike Flynn. The president stated that Flynn had not done anything wrong in speaking with the Russians, but had to be terminated because he had misled the vice president.
The conversation turned to the topic of leaks of classified information.
But the president returned to Flynn. He's a good guy, and he's been through a lot. I hope you can see your way to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He's a good guy. I hope you can let this go.
Comey agreed that Flynn is a good guy, but did not commit to ending the investigation of Flynn.
February 15, 2017, the president told reporters,
General Flynn is a wonderful man. I think he's been treated very, very unfairly by the media.
The president said he did not direct Flynn to discuss sanctions with Kislyak, but
it certainly would have been okay with me if he did. I would have directed him to do it if I thought he wasn't doing it. I didn't direct it, but I would have directed it because that's his job.
President Trump prevented the public disclosure of evidence. We begin before the election.
June 3, 2016. Shortly after his phone call with Russian pop star Emin Agalarov, Rob Goldstone, a New York publicist, emailed Trump Jr.
Emin just called and asked me to contact you with something very interesting. The Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, Aris, this morning. And in their meeting, offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia. And would be very useful to your father. This is obviously very high-level and sensitive information, but is part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump, helped along by Aris and Emin. What do you think is the best way to handle this information? And would you be able to speak to Emin about it directly? I can also send this info to your father via Rona, but it's ultra-sensitive, so I wanted to send it to you first.
Within minutes of this email, Trump Jr. responded, emailing back,
"Thanks, Rob. I appreciate that. I'm on the road at the moment, but perhaps I just speak to Emin first. Seems we have some time, and if it's what you say, I love it, especially later in the summer. Could we do a call first thing next week when I'm back?"
Goldstone conveyed Trump Jr.'s interest to Emin Agalarov, emailing that Trump Jr.
wants to speak personally on the issue.
We jump ahead now, a year later, July 7, 2017. Trump is now president.
The following week, the president departed on an overseas trip for the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany, accompanied by Hope Hicks, Jared Kushner, and Ivanka Trump, among others. While the president was overseas, Hicks learned that the New York Times was working on a story about the June 9 meeting.
The next day, Hicks told the president about the story, and he directed her not to comment. Hicks thought the president's reaction was odd because he usually considered not responding to the press to be the ultimate sin. Later that day, Hicks and the president again spoke about the story. Hicks recalled that the president asked her what the meeting had been about, and she said that she had been told the meeting was about Russian adoption.
Then just say that.
On the flight home, Hicks obtained a draft statement about the meeting to be released by Trump Jr. and brought it to the president. The draft statement began with a reference to the information that was offered by the Russians in setting up the meeting.
I was asked to have a meeting by an acquaintance I knew from the 2013 Miss Universe pageant with an individual who I was told might have information helpful to the campaign.
Hicks again wanted to disclose the entire story, but the president directed that the statement not be issued because it said too much. The president told Hicks to say,
"Only that Trump Jr. took a brief meeting and it was about Russian adoption."
Hicks texted Trump Jr. a revised statement that read,
"It was a short meeting. I asked Jared and Paul to stop by. We discussed a program about the adoption of Russian children that was active and popular with American families years ago and since ended by the Russian government. But it was not a campaign issue at that time, and there was no follow-up."
Are you okay with this? Attributed to you?
Trump Jr. responded by text message that he wanted to add the word "primarily" before discussed so that the statement would read, "We primarily discussed a program about the adoption of Russian children." Trump Jr. texted that he wanted the change because they started with some Hillary thing, which was BS, and some other nonsense, which we shot down fast.
I think that's right, too, but Bossman worried. It invites a lot of questions. I'll probably defer to you and your attorney on that word because I know it's important, and I think the mention of a campaign issue adds something to it in case we have to go further.
If I don't have it in there, it appears as though I'm lying later when they inevitably leak something.
Trump Jr.'s statement, adding the word "primarily" and making other minor additions, was then provided to the New York Times. The full statement provided to the Times stated,
"It was a short introductory meeting. I asked Jared and Paul to stop by. We primarily discussed a program about the adoption of Russian children that was active and popular with American families years ago and since ended by the Russian government. But it was not a campaign issue at the time, and there was no follow-up." I was asked to attend the meeting by an acquaintance, but I was not told the name of the person I would be meeting with beforehand.
The statement did not mention the offer of derogatory information about Clinton or any discussion of the Magnitsky Act or U.S. sanctions, which were the principal subjects of the meeting.
Short while later, while still on Air Force One, Hicks learned that Priebus knew about the emails, which further convinced her that additional information about June 9 meeting would leak and the White House should be proactive and get in front of the story. Hicks recalled again going to the president to urge him that they should be fully transparent about the June 9 meeting, but he again said no, telling Hicks,
"You've given a statement, we're done."
Later on the flight home, Hicks went to the president's cabin, where the president was on the phone with one of his personal attorneys. At one point, the president handed the phone to Hicks.
The attorney told Hicks that he had been working with Circa News on a separate story and that she should not talk to the New York Times. On July 19, 2017, the president met with reporters for the New York Times. In addition to criticizing Sessions in the Times interview, the president addressed the June 9, 2016 meeting and said he
didn't know anything about the meeting at the time. As I've said, most other people, you know, when they call up and say, by the way, we have information on your opponent, I think most politicians, I was just with a lot of people, they said, who wouldn't take a meeting like that?
In other words, what American politician wouldn't take compromising information on their opponent from a foreign power, in this case, one whose hostility to America dates back 71 years?
June 15, 2018, immediately following the revocation of Manafort's bail, the president's personal lawyer, Rudolph Giuliani, gave a series of interviews in which he raised the possibility of a pardon for Manafort.
I guess I should clarify this once and for all. The president has issued no pardons in this investigation. The president is not going to issue pardons in this investigation. When it's over, hey, he's the president of the United States. He retains his pardon power. Nobody's taking that away from him.
Giuliani said the comments only acknowledged that
an individual involved in the investigation would not be excluded from a pardon if, in fact, the president and his advisors come to the conclusion that you have been treated unfairly.
August 17, 2018, as jury deliberations continued, the president commented on the trial from the South Lawn of the White House. When asked whether he would pardon Manafort if he was convicted,
I don't talk about that now. I don't talk about that. I think the whole Manafort trial is very sad when you look at what's going on there. I think it's a very sad day for our country. He worked for me for a very short period of time. But you know what? He happens to be a very good person, and I think it's very sad what they've done to Paul Manafort.
In a Fox News interview on August 22nd, 2018, the president said,
Cohen makes a better deal when he uses me, like everyone else. And one of the reasons I respect Paul Manafort so much is he went through that trial. You know, they make up stories. People make up stories. This whole thing about flipping, they call it. I know all about flipping. The president said that flipping was not fair and almost ought to be outlawed.
In an interview on November 28, 2018, the president suggested that it was very brave that Manafort did not flip.
If you told the truth, you go to jail. You know, this flipping stuff is terrible. You flip and you lie and you get... The prosecutors will tell you that 99% of the time, they can get people to flip. It's rare that they can't, but I had three people. Manafort, Jerome Corsi, I don't know Corsi, but he refuses to say what they demanded. Manafort, Corsi.
Redacted.
It's actually very brave.
In response to a question about a potential pardon for Manafort,
it was never discussed, but I wouldn't take it off the table. Why would I take it off the table?
9, President Trump encouraged Michael Cohen to lie about Trump Tower Moscow.
According to Michael Cohen, personal lawyer to Donald Trump, in approximately September 2015, he obtained internal approval from Trump to negotiate on behalf of the Trump Organization to have a Russian corporation build a tower in Moscow that licensed the Trump name and brand. Cohen thereafter had numerous brief conversations with Trump about the project.
Cohen recalled that Trump wanted to be updated on any developments with Trump Tower Moscow, and on several occasions brought the project up with Cohen to ask what was happening with it. Trump signed a letter of intent for the project that specified highly lucrative terms for the Trump Organization.
November 3, 2015, the day after the Trump Organization transmitted the letter of intent, Felix Sater,
Russian-American mobster, convicted felon, and real estate developer,
emailed Cohen suggesting that the Trump Tower project could be used to increase candidate Trump's chances at being elected.
Buddy, our boy can become president of the USA, and we can engineer it. I will get all of Putin's teams to buy in on this. I will manage the process. Michael, Putin gets on stage with Donald for a ribbon cutting for Trump Moscow, and Donald owns the Republican nomination and possibly beats Hillary, and our boy is in. We will manage this process better than anyone. You and I will get Donald and Vladimir on stage together very shortly. That's the game.
Sater and Cohen continued to discuss a trip to Moscow. On May 4th, 2016, Sater followed up.
I had a chat with Moscow. Assuming the trip does happen, the question is before or after the convention. I said I believe, but don't know for sure, that it's probably after the convention. Obviously, the pre-meeting trip, you only, can happen anytime you want, but the two big guys were the question.
My trip before Cleveland, Trump wants you to come to the nominee after the convention.
May 5, 2016, Sater followed up with a text that Cohen thought he probably read to Trump.
Peskov would like to invite you as his guest to the St. Petersburg Forum, which is Russia's Davos. It's June 16 to 19. He wants to meet there with you and possibly introduce you to either Putin or Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev. This is perfect. The entire business class of Russia will be there as well. He said anything you want to discuss, including dates and subjects, are on the table to discuss.
Cohen recalled discussing the invitation with candidate Trump and saying that Putin or Medvedev might be there.
Trump said that he would be willing to travel to Moscow if Cohen could lock and load on the deal.
I had. November 29, after Cohen's guilty plea had become public, the president spoke to reporters about the Trump Tower Moscow project.
I decided not to do the project. I decided ultimately not to do it. There would have been nothing wrong if I did do it. If I did do it, there would have been nothing wrong. That was my business. It was an option that I decided not to do. I decided not to do it. The primary reason, I was focused on running for president. I was running my business while I was campaigning. There was a good chance that I wouldn't have won, in which case I would have gone back into the business. And why should I lose lots of opportunities?
The president also said that Cohen was
a weak person. And by being weak, unlike other people that you watch, he is a weak person. And what he's trying to do is get a reduced sentence. So he's lying about a project that everybody knew about. Even if Cohen was right, it doesn't matter because I was allowed to do whatever I wanted during the campaign.
President Trump tried to get longtime lawyer Michael Cohen not to cooperate with the investigation.
The evidence concerning this sequence of events could support an inference that the president used inducements in the form of positive messages in an effort to get Cohen not to cooperate, and then turns to attacks and intimidation to deter the provision of information or undermine Cohen's credibility once Cohen began cooperating.
Cohen said that the president's personal counsel also conveyed that as part of the joint defense agreement, Cohen was protected, which he would not be if he went rogue.
Cohen recalled that Jay Sekulow, the president's personal counsel, reminded him that.
The president loves you and told him that if he stayed on message, the president has his back.
August 2017, Cohen said that his agenda in submitting the statement to Congress with false representations about the Trump Tower Moscow project was to minimize links between the project and the president, give the false impression that the project had ended before the first presidential primaries, and shut down further inquiry into Trump Tower Moscow with the aim of limiting the ongoing Russia investigations. Cohen said he wanted to protect the president and be loyal to him by not contradicting anything the president had said. Cohen recalled he was concerned that if he told the truth about getting a response from the Kremlin or speaking to candidate Trump about travel to Russia to pursue the project, he would contradict the message that no connection existed between Trump and Russia. And he rationalized his decision to provide false testimony because the deal never happened.
Between August 18, 2017, when the statement was in an initial draft stage, and August 28, 2017, when the statement was submitted to Congress, phone records reflect that Cohen spoke with Jay Sekulow almost daily.
10 possible acts of obstruction of justice. Let's review them one more time.
President Trump asked the FBI director to shut down the investigation into National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
President Trump said he fired FBI Director Comey because of a Russia investigation.
President Trump ordered White House counsel Don McGahn to fire Robert Mueller.
President Trump attempted to curtail the special counsel investigation.
President Trump prevented the public disclosure of evidence.
President Trump wanted Attorney General Sessions to unrecuse from the Russia investigation.
President Trump directed White House counsel Don McGahn to create false documents that covered up the truth from investigators.
President Trump tried to discourage campaign chairman Paul Manafort and national security advisor Michael Flynn from cooperating with the Mueller investigation.
President Trump encouraged Michael Cohen to lie about Trump Tower Moscow.
President Trump tried to get his longtime lawyer Michael Cohen not to cooperate with the investigation.
Robert Mueller did his job. The question is, will we do ours?
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.